Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, January 31st, 2018. Activists in the diaspora say they should be included in phase two of the high-level revitalization forum.
About 90% of my family are still in South Sudan or pushed out of South Sudan because of this current conflict. So directly I'm affected. So there is no way that someone would say that your voice will not matter.
And some South Sudanese lawmakers are accusing the UN mission in South Sudan of allowing criminals inside UN camps.
The UNMISS has to be held accountable for South Sudanese who were killed by a non-gunman, since it is clear now that the unknown gunmen are in the POC of the UNMISS.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The high-level revitalization forum scheduled to resume in Addis Ababa next week is expected to discuss governance and security structures in South Sudan. But one activist says the organizers of the forum ignored the voices of the diaspora. Ayen Deng-Bure has details from Washington.
Last year's high-level revitalization forum at the African Union headquarters featured representatives from the civil society, including women, faith-based groups, youth, and South Sudan's business sector. But Ruben Gareng, the president of CAS, or the Coalition of Advocates for South Sudan, says one major group was not included.
I'm also calling for the representation of the diaspora, the people in the U.S., the people in Canada, the people in Australia. We need to be on the table. We've never been represented since, you know, the negotiation started.
While many voices were featured in the talks, some members of the diaspora complain they were left out. The importance of the diaspora is written in the framework of the African Union. The AU divided the continent into five regions: North, South, East, West, and Central. The African Union also recognizes the African diaspora as the sixth region of the continent. It describes the diaspora as peoples of African descent who live outside the African continent, irrespective of their citizenship and nationality, and who are willing to contribute to the development of the continent. That's the idea William Pei, a South Sudanese American living in the Midwest state of Minnesota, wants to foster at the high-level forum on South Sudan. He says their contributions matter and their pain is real.
What happened in South Sudan affects the diaspora like any ordinary South Sudanese who is also going about, because 90% most of the time, you'll find in my case, I would say that about 90% of my family are still in South Sudan or pushed out of South Sudan because of this current conflict. So directly I'm affected. So there is no way that someone would say that your voice will not matter.
Pay ads, including the diaspora in talks, could also help close the gap and foster dialogue among South Sudanese around the world who have often been criticized for furthering hate speech. CAS, an umbrella group of South Sudan-focused nonprofits in the U.S. and Canada, sent a letter to the chairman of IGAD ministers, Workne Jebeyehu, in October, and a separate letter to Ismail Weiss, IGAD's special envoy for South Sudan, making the case that the diaspora has a large influence back home and can positively influence the peace process. Gareng says those letters have not been returned.
I don't know exactly what is happening in their offices, why they're not responding to us. But I think the point here is that to make the case that diaspora need to be welcome on this table. We wanted peace in South Sudan. We have seen it clearly that our leaders alone are not going to bring that peace. And we are a group of people that are interested in the stability of the country. We are not interested in a position. So we need to be involved on this process.
Gareng says CAS wants to widen the table to include voices from the diaspora, who at many times watch helplessly from hundreds or thousands of miles away as their loved ones back home struggle from day to day. And the next round of the forum will be dominated by security concerns, says Gareng, as those talks will likely be dominated by achieving permanent security.
That is going to be very contentious because you know our people, that they are looking for position. They are fighting to, you know, to get position. But they are forgetting that ordinary people are suffering. And the diaspora and the civil society organization, the churches, the youth, the women, understand this, that there is a need for peace, and peace have to come to South Sudan.
The next phase of the high-level revitalization forum between all stakeholders present at the last forum held in December is scheduled to begin on Monday at the AU headquarters in the Ethiopian capital. Ayan Dengbior for VOA News, Washington.
Some South Sudanese lawmakers are accusing the United Nations mission in South Sudan of hosting criminals inside a protection of civilian site in Juba. The lawmakers say UNMISS is working outside its mandate and are allegedly collaborating with gangs to carry out criminal activities against innocent civilians. A senior UN official denies the accusation. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Juba.
UNMISS said last Saturday it has arrested and handed over to police three suspects within the UN site in connection with the killings of three people. Three brothers were allegedly killed in Juba last week. The UN mission says it has arrested the suspect during a search operation in the POC site next to its base in Juba. Lawmaker Gabriel Godgod, who represents Loli State in the Transitional National Assembly, introduced a motion in the parliament today accusing UNMISS of working to destabilize South Sudan by allowing criminals to abduct and murder innocent civilians and hide inside the camp.
The UNMISS has to be held accountable for South Sudanese who were killed by unknown gunmen, since it is clear now that the unknown gunmen are in the POC of the UNMISS. The UNMISS mandate should not be renewed again without concrete agreement with the transitional government of the national unity.
God accuses certain UNMISS personnel of working against South Sudan by hosting murderers and says the POC camp should be closed.
The UNMISS should also be held accountable for the people who have disappeared and killed by unknown gunmen. The UNMISS POC camp at Jabal should immediately be closed, as the UNMISS is using it for committing criminal acts.
UNMISS Chief David Shirar defended the UN mission and the protection of civilian sites in Juba after the suspected criminals were handed over.
The action of these few cannot and will not jeopardize the safety of 39,000 people who need protection.
While debating the motion, several lawmakers condemned the killing of the three brothers. Deng Dao Deng, who represents Jonglei State in the Transitional National Assembly, suggested that lawmakers form a committee to investigate the incident.
This committee should be strengthened, should be facilitated to conduct the investigation here in Juba and even to go to New York. We must make a case out of this. It's a political issue. It is a sovereignty issue. Our citizens inside the protection camp are our citizens. Please, can you get them out?
Deng presented in his call for shutting down all UN-run protection of civilian sites across the country. Following the debate, lawmakers resolved to summon the ministers of Interior, National Security, and Cabinet Affairs before the parliament next week to answer questions regarding the security situation in Juba and other parts of the country. The National Assembly did not pass God's motion, but lawmakers will wait to hear from the ministers first. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
One of the leaders of the internal displaced persons at the UN Protection of Civilian Sites in Juba says the United Nations mission in South Sudan handed over four IDPs to the South Sudan police last week. Charles Riek Wall says one of the IDPs was a minor. Riek is calling on human rights groups to intervene and secure the release of the minor who was allegedly implicated in a theft case.
We are facing two problems, from the hand of the government and the hand of the UNMISS too now. Because the UNMISS hand over the two children to the government, and the UNMISS taking one child of 15 years old and hand these men to the government. This is the big problem we want to talk about. And there is no evidence. And the man was taken as a criminal in the POC and handed over to the government without consultation from the leadership of the community.
Do you know this man who was handed over to the government? Do you know him?
Yes. I know the boy because I talked to the mother of the boy.
How long have you known him?
No, I don't know him personally, but I'm a leader of a community that needs to be consulted first if there is a mistake made by the community.
And why was the boy handed over to the police?
He was being accused for the chairs. The criminal hand over the chairs to the boy. The boy is a wheelbarrow rider.
He's a what?
He's driving wheelbarrow, and the real thief gives the boy the chairs.
I don't understand. Can you tell me what crime did he commit? Why was he handed over to police?
He was being handed over to the police because of the chairs, John. The chairs were being stolen from the town by the thief.
Which chairs?
Actually, they are the police and the handful. They know who is the owner of the chair.
And how do you handle crime in the POCs there? If there are crime there, how do you normally handle it?
If there is someone made a mistake in the POC, it's to be handed over to the handful. The handful, which is responsibility of UNMIS Direct.
What happened when the boy was handed over to the police? Who handed him over to the police?
The police themselves, they came and took the man inside his shelter.
Did you, as a community leader, speak with UNMIS on this situation?
Yes, actually, I even talked to the chief of staff of Onfall, and we tell them to bring the boy back because all the community of POCs are not happy for the mistake they made.
The United Nations mission in South Sudan released a statement that
yes.
POCs should not be used for hiding criminals.
There is no criminal, Mr. John. Believe me, there is no criminal in the POC.
You are telling me that you're not happy with the way this boy was handed over to the police. Have you made your complaints
yes.
known to the United Nations mission in South Sudan? And what did they tell you?
What they tell me, some are not happy. And I'm actually asking this big question because the boy is underage. He's even unlawful to take the young boy of 18 years to the prison.
You told me that you went and complained to the UN police. What did they tell you?
Yes. What they tell me, it do not convince me because I'm actually asking them about the evidence of the man. I'm asking them to give me the evidence. What did the man make? So at least is to be put into the prison.
When you ask for the evidence, what did they tell you?
When I ask them questions, John, everyone trying to defend himself about the situation of the boys.
How are they defending themselves?
They defend themselves with that the handing over of the man without consulting of the community is a mistake we made.
Did they accept that it was their mistake to hand the boy to the police?
Yes.
What do you want them to do now? After accepting that it was their mistake, what do you want them to do?
We are asking the people of human rights to investigate the situation because our people are really suffering. Tomorrow they may come and even take me and hand me over to the government because we did not see the evidence of a young boy of 15 years old that is the one who killing people in the Yei Road, as they said in the radio yesterday.
That's Charles Riak Wall, chairman of POC3. He was speaking to me from Juba yesterday. UNMIS spokesperson confirms that one of the suspects referred to police to assist with the theft investigation and other alleged crimes committed outside the UN protection of site was a juvenile. UNMIS says their actions was, quote, in accordance with the requirement under the status of force agreement with the government of South Sudan to refer people suspected of committing crimes outside the protection site to the national police. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some women are receiving free treatment in Yei. Find out more when we come back.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. Or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you like newer music or older musical groups?
I like both.
And I like good music. If it's good music and it's old, great. If it's new music and it's also good, great.
According to me, I just like newer music. Yeah. Because the beat, I like dancing so much. Nowadays, beats are just sweet, you know.
The older ones, Kool and the Gang, the ABBA. Why? Because maybe I've heard them over and over again, and their message is, I think, weightier than what you hear nowadays.
It depends. Sometimes when I'm in my free time, I like to share old music, but I'm also a fan of new music because I've heard much people say old is gone, but old is gold.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. More than 60 women who suffered trauma due to sexual abuse or domestic violence are receiving free counseling services in Yei Town. The women are also being taught new skills to empower them economically. Daniel Friday Martin has the story for VOA from Yei Town.
A group of young women singing under a mango tree at the women-friendly space on the grounds of the Yei Women Association. Women come here every day to learn new skills such as sewing and knitting and to talk to the counselors who help them deal with the trauma they have suffered, especially after fighting spread to Yei in July 2016. Jacqueline Amber Justin trains the women in bead embroidery and knitting. Speaking in Arabic, Justin says she opens the sessions with a prayer and tells the women stories, which in turn helps them share their stories.
I begin by praying with them as a way to raise their morale. After that, I distribute to them threads and beads, and I start training them. We found out that many of the women here have suffered a lot and faced many problems. But as we counsel them and teach them new skills, they forget their trauma back home.
Skills like sewing, knitting, and baking bread so the women can start new lives and provide for their families. A woman we shall identify only as Jennifer to protect her privacy says her husband regularly beat her. Speaking in Arabic, Jennifer says she still has scars from the beatings, but the counseling has helped her confront her past and transform her life so she can focus on the future.
I used to face too much trauma because of stress from my family. But at the moment, I'm very happy because we are sharing ideas, skills with the friends here. I'm now free, as you can see, my health is changing. Now with those skills training, I can buy some food.
Lilias, who also comes to the Women Friendly Center, says she was sexually assaulted by a known gunman in Yei Town in 2016. Speaking in Arabic, Lilias says she now feels empowered to move on with her life.
It is the first time since I was born that I am learning skills on how to sew table clothes and bedsheets or make necklace and hand and ear rings out of beads. I can sell these products and raise money to pay my children at school and buy food for them. What I want to tell our government is that we want peace so that I am able to go to Juba to sell my handmade products.
The Women Friendly Center is also open to other vulnerable young women and men in Yei Town who want to learn new skills. 17-year-old George dropped out of school when he was in primary aid. Speaking in Arabic, George says it doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman, everyone needs to learn a skill in order to survive.
One day, my parents will be gone and I will be on my own. And it will be good for me to teach other people. I want to tell my brothers outside there that they should not wonder as to why I chose to learn skills that are usually considered for women, that all of us men work together with the women to develop our country. There are people who came from outside with an ideology that this kind of work should be for women. But to my fellow men, I tell you, let's work to move our nation forward.
George says he has learned how to bake bread, which he sells at school, to raise money to pay his tuition fees and meet other basic needs. Howard Adams, chairperson of the Yay Women Association, says the training programs and counseling sessions empower mainly vulnerable women to fight poverty and overcome trauma.
We do this so that we bring women out of the trauma and out of the difficulties during the crisis that women have been undergoing. So since we started, we have come to realize that women are not now thinking so much as they used to do, whereby we also find that it's very necessary for us to do like counseling for them. We bring them together. They share their experiences. They have to forget of what has happened and they have to rebuild. Build another new plan for their livelihood.
Howard is urging well-wishers to donate funds to the Women Friendly Center, which relies on small donations from the government and individuals alike. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yeh River State.
Uganda is a home to more than 1 million refugees from South Sudan. Filippo Grandi is the head of UN High Commission for Refugees. Grandi visited northern Uganda this week to appeal to South Sudan's leaders to end the violence in their country. Halima Athumani has the story for VOA from Arua District in northern Uganda.
The ratio of South Sudanese refugees to local residents in the Arua district is now 1-4, according to the UNHCR. That puts nearly 250,000 refugees in that district alone. At the vast Imvepi settlement, a 23-year-old refugee named Susan digs the foundation for her new home using her bare hands and a metal bar. A baby cries nearby. Susan has had to dig 16 holes, each 60 centimeters long, in which to insert the logs.
But the problem of house is a problem for me. The stone is very more. This one I suffer. Nobody to help me.
UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, visited the settlement Tuesday. Talking to new arrivals like Susan, she told of how her brother was killed by rebels, leaving her to care for his three children in addition to her own. Grandi made this appeal to the warring factions in South Sudan.
Please make peace. We can't subject these people once again to exile, to suffering. We can't always take for granted the generosity of the Ugandan people. Really, we must ensure that peace comes, because everybody told me this morning, as in the past, if there is peace, I will go back, because this is where I belong. It's my country.
Uganda is currently hosting 1.3 million refugees, nearly all of them from South Sudan. The civil war started in 2013, and a 2015 peace deal quickly disintegrated. International monitors say a ceasefire signed in December was also violated in short order. 19-year-old Serena Alex lives at Imvepi settlement. She has no word on her 7 family members since she fled her hometown of Yei.
So many people are losing life in South Sudan. Brothers and sisters, mothers and our fathers, they are losing life in South Sudan because of the war. But I requested the president of South Sudan that they could cool down and bring peace to South Sudan.
Grandi's visit to Uganda comes ahead of a fresh funding appeal to be announced Thursday to meet the needs of more than 2.2 million displaced South Sudanese in 2018. Many of the displaced are children. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Arua,
The head of the United Nations mission in South Sudan is advising South Sudanese youth to work for harmony, peace and prosperity. David Shaira spoke over the weekend at the start of activities marking South Sudan's third National Day, National Unity Day. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Juba.
Hundreds of youth marched from the multipurpose training center to Juba Stadium during the launch of the 10-day celebrations of the National Unity Day on Saturday, which include a variety of sport activities and cultural dances. The government transported to Juba more than 400 youth from across the country to take part in the events aimed at promoting unity. Army Chief David Shira told youths gathered for today's event in Juba that National Unity Day, that youths can be ambassadors for peace in South Sudan.
We are here for a greater purpose, and that is to seek harmony, peace and prosperity in South Sudan. This year's theme, Sports for Peace and Social Cohesion, is in line with our mission at UNMISS, which is to contribute to building durable peace in South Sudan.
Shira says UNMISS will continue to support South Sudan in its quest to achieve lasting peace. South Sudan Minister of Youth, Culture and Sports, Nadi Arop, agrees that young people have an important role to play in fostering unity across the country.
We are searching for peace. The international community has done their part to bring peace to South Sudan. It is our role as a South Sudanese. It is your role to encourage us, to give us the tools how we can go ahead to bring peace to the country.
Arup thanked the Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA, UNMISS and other agencies that have contributed to the National Day for the past 3 years, and called on other international partners to help empower the youth in the country.
Young people for South Sudan, they need support. Young people to South Sudan, they need to be empowered so that they can build the nation together with us.
Flora Lukudu is a youth activist based in Juba. Lukudu says youths have the power to unite the nation.
And especially for the youths, I encourage them that we have really a great role to play. And if we really unite ourselves, then our country will really be in peace, and we will all enjoy the fruits of this beautiful country of our South Sudan.
Joy Antar heads the athletic team of Yambio. She says she has made new friends from other parts of the country over the last 3 days.
I really thank the JICA for organizing for us this kind of occasion. It has helped me. I've known very many people from different states, and I wish they could also help us to take it to different states so that we also go and see the environment there, and we know really we are happy people, and we shall show the sign of peace among us.
Youth from more than 12 states in South Sudan are taking part in the 10-day event. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Juba.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song "It Is Your Birthday" by a group from West Africa. Been listening to the song "It's Your Birthday" by a known group in West Africa. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Would like to know what you think about our show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also check us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
March 2-0, star was born, named Tone Star. Ain't that something? Daddy's junior, mama's birthed him. God has blessed him, none can hurt him. That's a wonderful thing. The night is gorgeous, party is calling. Pop champagne, we can drink till the morning.